Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Five-A-Side, a new show in which I, Jim Campbell, invite a guest to pick a dream five-a-side team made up of their favourite players and of which they are player manager. This week we have star of Mock the Week, Edinburgh Comedy Award nominee, and most impressively of all, Football Ramble Tour support, is Maisie Adam.
Hello.
How are you doing, Maisie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Nice.
And joining us on this new venture. So get straight down to it. You support Leeds.
Yeah.
How is that?
It's as you'd expect.
Yeah,
you
talking
year.
To anyone about it? It's you're making sure that
it's good
sure
to talk, isn't it? It's good to talk.
Yeah,
it's what you got to tell yourself. Difficult year, obviously. Last year, last season, and I think it was particularly painful because I know a lot of mates. Used to live just outside Leeds, and I have a lot of mates who have moved to South Yorkshire and are Sheffield. And it's difficult when you chat to those people.
Yes, and they're everywhere.
Do you know what? With a team like Leeds, it's hard because when I first got into football as a youngster, they were the team.
Yeah.
They were heroes, you know, and local heroes as well. You know, you were aware of them on your doorstep, but you knew that they meant something quite big.
Yeah.
And now it's a little bit... It's a little bit like a sort of dirty family secret when you say that you're a Leeds fan.
It's funny, we were talking about this on the podcast towards the end of last season about how for sort of the younger generation,
yeah.
I don't think they quite understand that Leeds not being the Premier League is mad.
Yeah.
It's like Arsenal or Everton or
Absolutely.
Spurs not being there.
Absolutely. It's like, yeah. Yeah, imagine in 10 years people are going, I'm an Arsenal fan, yeah. And obviously it's difficult because they used to be such a team.
League One's not so bad though.
Yeah,
it's
weird that there's people who only know Leeds as
almost as
what they are now,
like a parable.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's really strange, and I think it was almost easier sort of 5-6 years ago when we were right in like knee deep in the worst of it. To kind of be that, but the fact that like this last season we've come so close to getting back to that former glory, it was enough to kind of like get everybody riled and maybe it's okay to be a Leeds fan again.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute we shafted it.
Yeah, but you've kept Marcelo Bielsa, which is obviously great news for England in general.
Yeah.
So
I'm
you never
happy
know.
About it.
Yeah, I
I'm
mean, I imagine Leeds will have another tilt next season, and good luck to them. So let's move on to your Fantasy Five-a-side team.
Okay.
Just to clarify for everyone listening, this is sort of normal five-a-side rules, like low overhead height, no going into the goalkeeper's area, rolling subs, that sort of thing. Yeah. And who have you got first?
So do you want me to work from keeper?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So former Leeds United legend Paul Safe Hands Robinson.
Paul Robinson. Okay, that's an interesting one.
Why is that an interesting one? What have you got against Paul Robinson?
Techie Leeds.
Yeah.
That was.
What did you say?
I mean, it's just an interesting choice because he isn't someone that would come to my mind straight away.
No.
But he's massive, isn't he?
He's
Paul Robinson.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a huge advantage on such a small pitch.
Yeah, and I, again, there's going to be a few of these with my choices for this five-a-side. I think I'm a little bit romanticised about those former years of Leeds. And Paul Robinson, that was my memory of going to Ellen Road as a kid and seeing that big figure in goal. And I remember I felt like a proud dad when he got into the England squad.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, go on, we've given England a keeper,
because he was very good when he was younger,
really,
wasn't he, Robinson?
He was like, really good, and he was constantly in the shadow of David Seaman.
Yeah,
which I felt was unfair. Unpopular opinion, I don't think David Seaman was the goalkeeper that everyone thought he was.
Perhaps not towards the end, certainly. I don't think that's...
Certainly towards the end. I think it would have been better... I feel about David Seaman how a lot of people feel about Joe Hart now. In that, like...
Bit of a sort of stepdad vibe, almost.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my goal, you're not my dad.
Yeah, you're not my keeper. Like, I feel... They're okay, but I think there's people who are better equipped.
Mm.
I was happy when we had David James as the national keeper. Isn't it weird that David James was like, I'm not that bothered about being a keeper? And that just, still blows my mind, those interviews where he's like, I wasn't really fussed about becoming the national goalkeeper.
Yeah, I'm really more into video games.
Yeah. And then
he
you
really
had,
is as well.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? And then you had like Paul Robinson, who was just happy to be involved.
Yeah.
But I was happier for him to lose out to David James than I was to constantly for him to be in the shadow of David Seaman.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And I think he would be a very good keeper. I would be very proud of him.
He also scored a 95-yard screamer, didn't he?
Oh my god!
For Spurs.
Like, this is the thing. Like, you know those compilation shows that are on late at night of like wackiest goals.
Yeah.
There's always the David Beckham from the halfway line.
Yeah.
And then something ridiculous like a keeper scoring a goal. And the fact that Paul Robinson, our little Leeds United legend, is in that select club, it's great.
Yeah. He scored a header as well in a League Cup game. Like
Did
an
he?
Amazing like striker's
when was
header.
This?
It was when he was fairly young and I think breaking into the team.
Oh,
and
okay.
it was honestly like a proper striker's header. And I think if you're a goalkeeper and you've got a header from a corner and a goal from your own half, like that is
it's amazing. That, isn't it?
Like below the sort of Campos
Higuita
level.
I might move him then. I might play him further up the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe is that a danger though? Because I sometimes play in goal when I play five a side, which I haven't done for a while, but I have been really selfish and shot before.
Have you?
Yeah, and it is pointless.
Oh.
But I mean, if you're Paul Robinson and you've scored from 95 yards
then
out, it might be worth
like,
a go.
Fair enough, have a go, mate. Yeah.
Exactly. You've earned one a game.
Yeah, yeah.
At least.
He was also, did you ever collect power pods?
I did not, no.
Okay, so he was like a really, really good one to get.
What is a power pod?
You know those little footballers with the big heads?
Oh, yeah.
On a base. So you had like the ones with the green base.
Yes.
Were like 10 a penny. Yep. You could get quite a few. Then it went up to either blue, then red, or red, then blue, and then silver, and then gold. I always remember Cristiano Ronaldo was a gold.
Like a shiny, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I never did the whole sticker hype.
Just went straight to PowerPods.
Just went straight with PowerPods. Used to get from your local post office. I remember getting Paul Robinson. I think he was a silver base. And again, that was like a benchmark... Yeah. I'm sure not for him, but for me, I was like, oh, go on. Not only have I got Paul Robinson, I've found out he's a silver base.
Yeah, England international, that's probably bumped him up into that. So from what I've heard about Paul Robinson, he's actually a very good egg as well. In the 2006 World Cup, I think it was the first game England played Paraguay, or the first game of both teams' campaign, and their goalkeeper, Justo Villa, he was injured 7 minutes in, and Paul Robinson sent him his gloves as like a sort of gesture of goodwill, just from one keeper to another.
Not to sound like everyone everyone's mum, but it's, you know, it's good to be a nice person.
Absolutely.
as well as talented.
It costs nothing apart from maybe the postage.
Well, yeah.
Also, you probably know Lloyd Griffith, as I do, so
yes.
Presents Soccer AM and is a stand-up as well.
He's a really good keeper.
I've heard that.
I mean, he only ever posts on Instagram when he saves it. So
yeah, obviously.
Maybe they're
I would
not,
do the
you
same.
Know, once in a blue moon. Yeah, you're not going to post a video of you just like absolutely going the wrong way.
Yeah.
But he does some killer saves.
I've heard this. But what, so Lloyd, a long time ago when he was flying for his own show, bumped into Paul Robinson at the Edinburgh Festival, who was just up there seeing some shows. And Paul Robinson helped him flyer. Going up to strangers going, come see this guy's show. Like sort of
so
keeper's
Paul
union.
Paul Robinson in the football world is like Keanu Reeves in the acting or Dave Grohl in the music.
Seems that
nicest
way.
Nicest guy in the industry.
Seems that way.
Imagine Paul Robinson flyer in for
it
a
must
show.
Have been one of those bizarre sort of what is happening to my life
especially
sort of moments.
For Lloyd as well, like imagine being a keeper and a comedian and then former England international goalkeeper Paul Robinson
telling people to come to your show. Perhaps quite aggressively, who knows? So he's a funny one, Robinson, isn't he? Because he has conceded over 500 Premier League goals. Only the fifth goalkeepers have been
many.
In that. But yeah, but
over
I mean,
500.
He was battling for Leeds for a long time. So they got whipped a lot in those seasons. So I think that doesn't really tell the story of his ability.
I hate to be this person that always makes that argument, but you know, when people are like, well, the keeper's job is to keep it out. No, if you've got a shoddy defence, sometimes, which Leeds did for so long, sometimes it's just about damage control, really,
yes.
Being the keeper, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you just
have to show that you at least dived to at least you made an attempt.
Yeah,
but it should never have been down that end in the first place.
At five aside, though, is that not a potential risk because the shots are going to come thick and fast? Potentially,
listen, he's going to be too busy at the other end scoring headers. So
fair
I don't
enough.
Know even why I'm bothered about him. What he's going to be like as a keeper? He'll be knocking the headers in.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, Paul Robinson is in bins. So,
yeah.
Who have you got in defence?
I've got Millie Bright.
Okay, Millie Bright.
Chelsea defender.
So, from what I know of Millie Bright, she is a sort of move on from that.
Yeah.
No-nonsense centre-half. But she's also played in midfield, which is very handy in five-a-side.
Yeah. She is good in... I prefer when she plays further back, because she... can I swear on this?
Yeah.
Okay. She's built like a brick shit house. And I mean that in the best way.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll hate me saying that. But she is, she's incredibly good at like at blocking at the last minute. Like there's one when you see the forwards going for the goal with it and then you see Millie getting involved, you're like, it's fine. Like you'd be leaning, if you were the keeper then, you'd be leaning against the goalpost. Like it's not going to come over here. I prefer when she plays in defence as opposed to a centre-back. And I don't think she's particularly quick when she's in midfield.
Well, in five-a-side, does that matter so much? If she's good at making those well-timed blocks, then that's going to be so important because like anyone...
Literally, I'd have the pitch out like a netball court. I'd be like, you don't go past this line, Millie. You stay at the back and just stick your leg out when you can see someone going to strike. But yeah, Millie Bright is she's a good egg to have on your.
So what is where are you putting yourself in the team, by the way, as well? So sort of will you be sort of, you know?
I didn't know I was playing. I assumed I was.
Oh, you're player manager.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, my preferred is centre mid.
Yeah. So that's good. So you've got her as a screen behind you,
yeah,
which is ideal.
Yeah, I mean, judging me, being like, I wouldn't have done that. I play centre mid, and then when my fitness levels are better than they currently are, I'm all right on the right wing, because I can run really fast.
Yeah,
not to sound like Forrest Gump, but I can run really, really quick.
That can be a problem though, can't it, in five aside? Because if you're too much of a pace merchant, you can smack into the walls quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I suppose as long as you're fine with that, then
indoor
that's all right.
Football, I was horrendous at.
Yeah,
because you like on a football pitch, you're fine. You can just keep running. I would the amount of sports hall walls I have ran like smack into.
Yeah,
I hate indoor football.
The floors as well.
It.
That is a special type of
I
jarring
hate
of the
it.
Knee.
It's
isn't
like
it?
A different game. The ball is like it's like playing with a ping pong ball because it's bouncing everywhere. Like it's just the sound is echoing, squeaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I sound like such a diva. I can't play football when it's squeaky.
Yeah. I can't play in these conditions.
But yeah, I don't like them. Also, those goals that are up to my waist.
Sponge balls
like,
as well. Sponge balls are a thing. What is that about?
Do one. They
yeah, absolutely,
can do one.
They can.
I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan. So, yes, I would maybe be in centre mid. And I wouldn't even feel bad if I let it go past me because I know Millie would have it. That's nice.
That frees you up,
doesn't
it?
Yeah.
So obviously there's rolling subs, so there will be another central midfielder. Who are you going to pick for that?
I'm going to pick Alan Smith.
Again, another interesting choice.
Leeds United legend.
Yes.
And first ever crush, Alan
really?
Smith. Oh. Oh, my God.
What was it that kicked it off? Was it when he got sent off for England? It's like a hard man.
Bad boy, yeah. It was the,
who gets sent off for England?
It was such a, early noughties, late 90s thing to fancy guys with a big blonde hairdo.
Yeah.
But he really was the poster boy for that kind of style. Like, all of my friends were into, like, they all fancied the lads from Boyzone and Westlife, you know. They were all like, oh, Brian McFadden or Kieran Egan. And I was like, what about the midfielder for Leeds United?
It was sort of, I guess he is a quite traditionally handsome man, Alan Smith,
so
and he did
beautiful.
Have that highlight as well. He's like that sort of boy band member's hard older brother.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was like a beautiful, pretty boy. I mean, I'm terribly objectifying here about.
Well, I'm joining in.
He's also a really talented man.
Yeah.
He was definitely my first crush. I used to have a big poster above my bed of him. He said good night to Alan every night. But he, again, like, I thought he was great for our team. I've still not forgiven him for going over to Manchester United.
Yeah.
Do you remember he used to, like, in all of his post-match interviews for Leeds, he always used to go, I'm sticking with Leeds.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with Leeds. People go, oh, you're rumoured to be going over to Manchester. I'm sticking with Leeds. And then he went and did it, and it was, I can still feel the knife in my back.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because Alex Ferguson buying Leeds' best striker and then converting him into a defensive midfielder is taking the piss, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It felt like a personal two fingers up to every Leeds fan. Like, look what I can do. I can not only poach your players, but I don't even
play
need them where you've been playing
sarcastically.
Them. Sarcastically. Yeah. Yeah, it felt sarcastic. But of all the teams to go to, Manchester United.
I read about this and I think it was a very complicated thing for Alan Smith, wasn't it? Because I think it was the case that Leeds had to sell him
to
stay out of administration.
He had to go and we needed him. Yeah, we needed to sell him to keep ourselves afloat. But it was just a particular...
Not there.
Yeah, just not there.
Yeah.
You know, it was like him going to Millwall or something. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Ferguson said as well that... He saw qualities in him that made him want to turn him into Roy Keane, which sounds like the sort of plot of a horror film. Why would
it's
anyone
like Dr.
want
Frankenstein,
that?
Yeah, isn't it? It's like,
absolutely.
Don't do that. Why would you do that?
Leave nice Alan Smith alone.
But him and Harry Kewell were what I remember as being so proud of that team.
Yeah,
and so proud to the opposite of what we're saying now about Leeds is that, like, you would proudly chat about them and really feel like they were a team that could do hugely great things. They were kind of like the Manchester United of the last 5-10 years. No, 5 to 10 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Manchester United in the last 5 years
would be no fun at all.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So moving on from Alan Smith, because it's only fair, given that he did that to you in such a cruel manner.
Yeah, I'd sub him off straight away. Get me there.
Just roll him on and off constantly. Just keep him going through his paces. Ugh. How do you like it, Alan?
I've never forgiven you. You broke my heart. I'd say that was my first heartbreak, actually.
Yeah,
Alan Smith, because I idolised him and fancied him, so it was like
so. It's like
my
a relationship.
Heart as a football fan and as a woman.
So how long was he actually at Leeds?
Oh,
from his debut, obviously. So it would have been a decent amount of time.
Yeah,
it was a significant relationship.
Yeah, it was. It was too. Yeah. It was too long to have then cheated on me.
Oh, Alan.
That's such a sad... Oh, Alan. And then are we going on to who I've got?
Yes, let's move on to your next midfielder. So, like, we're moving into sort of the forward areas now.
Yes, yes. Ronaldinho.
Oh.
I just think he's one of... The thing that frustrates me, I feel like I'm comparing each person I say to another footballer, but the thing that frustrates me about Ronaldinho is he's been constantly compared to other people at his level. And I feel like Ronaldinho is one of the best showmen of the game.
Without doubt.
That we've had. But people always give that title to people like Ronaldo or Messi. And I think Ronaldinho was so great for international football in particular.
Yes.
Like seeing him play in World Cup matches, you didn't even mind if he like the footwork he used to mess about with.
Yeah. It was a real...
If he did it to you on a five-a-side on a weekday, you'd want to shove it. But watching him on a big screen, you're like, that's
incredible.
That's amazing.
Because he, in a sense, he is sort of... He really embodies that five-a-side spirit, because you get people that take it too seriously and it stops being fun. But when you get people who are good, but they just love it and they're playing with a smile on their face,
that's the thing.
That's great.
That's exactly... You've hit the nail on the head there. He plays out of passion.
Yeah.
Like, obviously they've all got an interest in foot, except for David James, who's just happens to be good at saving a goal.
Might like FIFA.
Yeah.
Busman's Holiday.
But he, you could tell every time he stepped on that pitch, he was just so... so happy to be on it, so at home.
Very much so. And doing those tricks and that sort of thing in World Cup matches as well.
Yeah, on the biggest platform. Like, that's the kind of thing you attempt at five-a-side on a Saturday morning with your mates.
Yeah.
And it goes spectacularly wrong and you'll laugh about it. He would do it, like, in a semi-final of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And it would go right and probably result in a goal.
And the incredible thing for me about Ronaldinho as well is... One of the things that people criticise him for is one of the things that I think actually makes him more amazing when you look back on it. He basically didn't train that much.
No.
You know, even at Barcelona, even at his peak, he was not a committed trainer. But he was so good that he would still dominate the league, really.
Yeah,
watching him
at Barcelona was special as well, because I always feel like he came into that team knowing full well he was the golden boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's where a lot of that sort of relaxed attitude comes. But... Listen, if someone's that good, you don't mind them.
Absolutely not. Although
I wish there was more of that in. I hate to be that person that's like, oh, where are the old days of, you know, why can't they all be like George Best and turn up drunk?
Well, apparently Ronaldinho did do that.
No, really. You see, that doesn't surprise me though. But like, did you get results? Yeah.
Well, apparently he and Deco were sold because they were turning up drunk to training, and quite often Ronaldinho would just go on the sunbeds, which I can't believe they even had at the training ground.
I love it.
Some sort of vitamin C thing, I would imagine, or D.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hierarchy were worried about the influence it could have on Lionel Messi, so they sold them both. Is the story. But still, what a glorious time we had before that.
Yeah, yeah. And I quite liked that side of football when there was an off-pitch drama as well. You know, it spices it up, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It's the sort of thing that in the football media you hear people have been trained to say, oh, we don't like to see that sort of thing. But come on.
Yeah,
of course you do. It's like when Mario Balotelli was setting fireworks off in his hotel room. We're like,
he's
brilliant.
He's the most recent, I think, bad boy we've had, isn't he, Balotelli?
Yeah,
I don't know who's the bad boy of the current football.
I think you're right. It doesn't.
There's no one, is there?
I suppose the closest you would have would be Paul Pogba, but that's just because of the occasional spats he has. It's not really the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not that he's unprofessional in it.
No, it's not, in a sporting sense. It's quite rock and roll, isn't it? The sort of stories from Ronaldinho and Balotelli.
Very much so. I mean, are you aware of his rap song that he released? This is while he was
Has a rap song.
He does, and he was still playing. I think he was in Brazil when he released this, and the chorus, it's obviously translated, it goes, boot the glass up high, let's drink, we will enjoy life, we drink, I'm full of money, let's drink.
Oh, what a guy. That whole, actual Ronaldo, I always call him actual Ronaldo because...
That's the other thing as well, isn't it?
Like, there's a whole generation of football fans who, when you say Ronaldo, they don't even know there was an original Ronaldo.
Absolutely.
I remember I think he'd fathered a kid outside of... He wasn't even married. He was engaged to be married. And then their wedding was called off because he'd fathered a kid with someone. And then they got married and he had a vasectomy because he... And the way he phrased it in the interview was something like, let's stop the factory or something.
Yeah, I think I remember that. The factory is closed.
Yeah, we'll close the factory. And I was like... Do you know what? That is an iconic thing. That's...
Absolutely. I mean, maybe the way for both of us to solve this issue is just move to Brazil, where apparently everybody is like
apparently
that.
Everyone is drunk and fathering children.
Wagner Love as well, the former CSKA Moscow striker, he was once pictured at a party in Brazil with like an anti-aircraft missile. Like just...
Why?
Just, yeah,
why?
I love it.
How have you got yourself in that situation? But yeah, the sheer showmanship, I think, of Ronaldinho is... It's just an honour to watch, and I think it'd be interesting to see what it's like to play with.
I think you just watch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think you'd get a little bit caught up with what he was doing, and luckily you'd have Millie Bright behind you and Alan Smith, so you could probably just spectate. That's certainly what I would do.
Yeah, I would.
Just give him the ball, see what he does.
I love it.
That goal against Chelsea in the Champions League final, the wiggle with his foot and no back lift. Whoa.
How can you move? I can't move my feet that quick without... A ball there.
It's one of those rare goals where it sort of almost doesn't seem to make sense however many times you watch it.
In slow-mo, you watch it back multiple times and you wonder, could it be done again or was it just a moment that would never ever happen in any other circumstances? But again, he didn't exactly come away from it and being like, can't believe I did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, What did you expect?
Right, yeah, let's drink.
Yeah, where's the sunbed? Yeah.
It's like, I think you can only approach the game like that if you are just having a laugh with it.
Yeah.
And to be of the mentality where you can actually do that in a high-pressure situation.
Yeah.
I know people criticised him for that, but actually, maybe that was why he was so good.
And at the end of the day, football is it's a spectator sport. You go for the game and the real sense of the game is stuff like that. You go for the drama, you go for the intensity. There's nothing worse than a really beige football match.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost heartbreak. You almost feel like you deserve a refund.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you thought. I'm going to upset some people here. But that final with Liverpool and Tottenham, It was frustrating, really, because it had been such a brilliant build-up for both teams, and they both so deserved their place, I thought, in that final. And it was just the most bland...
It was drab, wasn't it?
You know, it was bland for 70 minutes. You had that exciting, was it or not, a penalty at the first 10, and then the goal at the end. Apart from that, like, that's not what football's about for me. Football for me is about the Ronaldinhos and all of that. That's what I love.
Got a very quick one question quiz about Ronaldinho then. When he was 13 years old, his team won a game 23-0. How many goals did Ronaldinho score?
Out of those 23, 18.
23?
No!
Yeah, mad. Just mad. So,
oh my God.
I think he's always been like that.
That keeper will have been so fuming.
Probably just disappeared, like in a puff of smoke
somewhere
at the final
in a pub,
whistle.
There's a bloke being like, once... Ronaldinho scored 23 goals against me. Yeah. And you're like, oh, go home.
I've been in this pub ever since. Yeah, I've never recovered from it.
Telling that story and everyone's like, oh, has he told Ronaldinho?
Up.
Yeah, it's not true. That's so funny. When he's 13.
Yeah, 13 years old, 23 goals. Absolutely amazing.
See, that's incredible, isn't it?
Might have been his peak work rate wise.
Yeah. That's when he had the highest work ethic.
Right, so we got one player left, apart from your bonus player that we'll come on to.
Yeah.
As you're out and out forward, I suppose.
Right. So this is the person I need when everything's been put in place. All you need is somebody to make sure they're in that area to knock it back in. And for me, there is only one person for that, and that's Ruud van Nistelrooy.
That is very big of you as a Leeds fan.
Yeah,
it has to be said.
I know. I had to swallow a lot of pride. But again, I think he's what the. In fact, I was listening to Phil Neville. Phil Neville was saying that Ellen White is becoming a Van Nistelrooy through the fact that she was often running around, playing out left, playing out right, right at the front. And it meant that when the ball suddenly finds itself right near the goal, she's not there because she's gone too early. And just to, he was saying to, you know, keep back. And the word he used was a predator, right? And he said, and now she's become a predator. She's exactly like Ruud van Nistelrooy. And I think that's exactly it. Is he was one of those players where you're watching the game slowly move up the pitch, and then it's crossed in and you think no one's there to receive it, and then he's there out of nowhere, often headering it. Like, the amount of headers I've seen, to the point where at school if you went for a header you'd shout Van Nistelrooy. and he just had this fantastic ability to make sure he was there at the right time out of nowhere, so no one was ever marking him. I think he was a fantastic, he's something like the, is he the third highest scoring in UEFA?
He's certainly in the top 10 in terms of Champions League goals. I'm not sure exactly where, but he's high up it, because he was a sort of the, epitomises the phrase banging them in.
Yeah,
it was just and I think
if you're
he might
in a
have
team
only scored.
With him, you just have to cross it over to that general area, and he'll find
a way.
It's amazing.
His range of finishing was incredible as well. It's absolutely amazing. And also as well, in terms of your team, you've got Ronaldinho sort of drawing the markers, pulling all the strings, and as long as he can get the ball off to Van Nistelrooy, he's probably going to score.
That's all you need. He's got such good footwork that he can get the ball off whoever. Move it out wide, cross it over, and you can bet your bottom dollar he'll find it and knock it in.
One thing I would be slightly cautious of with Ruud van Nistelrooy in a five-a-side team is that I think he scored very few goals from outside the box. And obviously, not being allowed in the keeper's area, obviously that's not the same size as a full-size pitch box. But psychologically, could that affect him? Could it all go to pieces?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, actually. Probably.
You think?
Probably.
Even on such a small pitch?
I'm now thinking, oh God, I've made a terrible error. No, because you're so right. He was always in the area.
Yeah.
And that area doesn't exist on a five-a-side pitch.
But I mean,
so I based this
scale...
entire appointment on something that won't be there in this match.
You've got I think the scale of it
It might knock him. I also just think, though, at the end of the day, like, it's Ruud van Nistelrooy. Like, he can adapt, surely.
Yeah.
Like, surely he can. He's
Ruud van Nistelrooy. And again, you've got Ronaldinho behind him, drawing the markers, and Smudger to give him
so
a kick.
So what was the statistic about him scoring from outside the
box?
I'm
not sure the exact statistic. I think he might have only scored once from outside the box for Man United. It was certainly a very low number because he was such a sort of predator and he was the archetypal fox in the box as well, wasn't he? But again, you know, a box is massive compared to a five-a-side area. So
I remember
probably
seeing
be all right.
some belters at Real Madrid, but I'm now thinking, were they all... Was he all... Was he always within the crossbar or something?
I couldn't comment. Don't have the stats to hand.
He's tall, isn't he?
Yes, he is tall.
He's like a a bit of a people. He almost not a like, Peter Crouch, but he's a big bloke.
He's on the scale. He looks a bit like a sort of anthropomorphized donkey as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he didn't play that way, but he had that sort of maybe that's
we're
my
being
Arsenal
so
hat
rude
on.
About.
That's fine. We've his said name's
Millie
rude.
Millie Bright's built like a brick shithouse, and Van Nistelrooy is a
anthropomorphic donkey.
Anthropomorphic donkey.
So moving on from that,
I'm
in
sure
case
they're
he
dying
it.
To get on the podcast now.
So you've got one extra player. That's part of what happens here. You get your other rolling sub.
I love this feature, can I just say?
You can absolutely say. So basically, you get one choice who isn't a footballer. Yeah. That can be anyone you want. So who have you gone for?
I have gone for the BBC's political correspondent, Laura Koonsberg.
Obviously, as I'm sure many will.
I had to fight some people off in order to get her.
Yeah, of course.
I think her tenacity to just... You need somebody on a team, especially a five-a-side team, with not only tenacity, but they don't get tired quickly.
Yes.
They don't get... Every time I watch the news, I'm like, how is she covering this again? She must be up from like 4 a.m, and then, especially at the moment, like not getting into bed until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And every time, she's so enthused. Like, she bloody loves it, doesn't she?
She could be a hologram. She's
every
just
time,
absolutely everywhere.
Can you imagine if it's just a hologram of Laura Koonsberg? Every time she's on there, she's absolutely living for the political drama. And I'm like, how are you not just grabbing them by the shoulders, screaming at them like... Can you just
sort this out, please?
Yeah. Can you wind up? I need a lie-in. And she's not. She approaches everything with such enthusiasm, such passion. She's quite tenacious in terms of getting an answer out of people. And I think those are the qualities you'd want in your extra player. Like, does not stop, will not stop. Until she's literally dragged off the pitch.
Excellent under pressure as well, as excellent we've seen many pressure. Times. And also, I wonder, given that she's so good at asking questions of people, do you have her taking penalties?
Oh. Yeah,
very intimidating presence coming up against you.
Yeah. In a very good metaphor here, I think sometimes the politicians think her questions are going one way and they go the other. And that's what you want in a penalty taker.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think I would... I never thought that this day would take the turn where I'm going, would I let Laura Koonsberg take a penalty for me? Yes, I would.
Great.
I'm going to back her.
Yeah, I think she'd score as well.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be playing up the front end of the field, isn't she? You're not going to have Laura Koonsberg in defence.
No. Although, if you're up against it, she'd dig in. She'd know where to be.
Well,
I think.
Yeah. But she's attack through and through, isn't she? She's attack through
I think
and through.
So. So, obviously, a sort of a very common tradition in many five-a-side games up and down the land is that you go for a drink afterwards. So, how do you feel that your squad would gel? I think there's one member in particular might be the centre of the party once you get to wherever you're going.
Yes. Obviously, you're talking about Koonsberg.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not really drinks after a match, is it? It's a night out with Ronaldinho.
Yeah, it's several after parties, I would imagine, that he spontaneously just creates.
I'd love to see, like, you know when some people go to the loo during pints and just two people are left at the table, Koonsberg and Ronaldinho?
Oh,
like, where
God.
Does that conversation go?
I would happily shrink into the periphery of that and sit there saying nothing to just observe.
I feel like she'd be really, really sensible... And then you keep having more pints and suddenly she's an absolute weapon. Like Ronaldinho's telling her to calm down and get off the table, Laura. We're going to get kicked out.
Yeah. Come on, come to the after party. Yeah, we'll ruin that one and then move on from there.
I think they'd gel really well. I mean, we've already said Paul Robinson's a really good egg.
Good guy.
Really, really good egg. From what I've seen, Millie Bright seems to be very, very grounded. I'm not sure she'd be an absolute loose cannon on a, you know, I don't know why we've gone to they're on a night out and not just...
Because Ronaldinho's there. We've been...
There's just no way it's going to be a pint afterwards, is it? We're in a booth in a nightclub.
Yeah, we've been realists about this for some reason.
He's ordered a bottle of something that's in an ice bucket.
That you've never heard of.
Yeah. There's loads and loads of clingers trying to cling on. I think they gel quite well. I suspect Ruud van Nistelrooy is probably a little bit of a... I'm going to go home now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
I think he calls the taxi. I think he Ubers from under the table and then he's like, oh, I've just suddenly got something. And actually it's like, no, your taxi's been waiting out there for 10 minutes. You've got a gardening program you need to get back for.
Come on, get off road. You're slowing us down.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Maisie.
You're obviously at the Edinburgh Festival this year.
Yes.
So whereabouts are you and where can people find you?
I'm at the Gilded Balloon every day at 5 o'clock. The Gilded Balloon Billiard Room.
Billiard Room.
My show is called Hang Fire.
Cool.
Be ace to have some football ramble.
Absolutely. Go dive in, listeners. Get yourself some tickets. So you can also see Maisie supporting us on tour from September to November.
Excited.
We're so excited as well. It's going to be great. So tickets are available at ramblelive.com. So that just leaves me to say thanks again, Maisie Adam,
thanks
for coming on. And you lot, we'll see you later.
Bye.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.